This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The forecast high for Chicago, Illinois today was 41 degrees. Not so bad for Chicago in the middle of February, right? More to the point, though, it's a long way from the cold, dark days of the polar vortex when local news reports in Chicago were warning that more than a couple of minutes outside could kill you. And on those days, in fact, many of Chicago's commuter trains did die. Engines froze, switches got clogged with snow, and people just waited in the cold and waited some more, because the area's commuter rail agency was a bit of an accident waiting to happen. From Chicago Marketplace's Dan Wiseman has that story.
Stacy Castro has been a Daily Metro writer for 4 years, and she's been pretty pleased, until the deep freeze hit in early January. A lot of people stayed home. Castro went to her Metro stop and waited.
It would just fly right by the station, and everybody would go back down to the warming station and hope for another one to come, but you don't really know.
Same thing played out around the region. Metra's CEO says just 30% of the agency's trains ran on time that day. Problems continued through weeks of terrible weather. There were evening rush hours when nothing left for an hour or more on some lines. Joseph Schwederman is a transportation professor at DePaul University and a Daily Metro writer. He compares the crowds that piled up at the stations on those nights to the throngs at Ellis Island. But these huddled masses were angry.
I mean, you look at commuters, they are like creatures of habit. They take this train every morning. They take this train home if they work late. And you start interfering with that schedule, and suddenly they are in your face.
Commuter rail schedules encourage this mentality. The routine is unforgiving. Arrive 10 seconds late for the 6 o'clock train, and you will be waiting for the 6:44. January's service failures turn out to be just the tip of a very scary iceberg for Metra. The iceberg itself, or at least its most potent symbol, sits in a warm, narrow room about 2 miles west of downtown. It's lit by big windows in the middle. They look out at 7 sets of railroad tracks that cross paths here. The machine in this room, the iceberg, is a beautiful metal console, at least 20 feet long, with dozens of switches and blinking lights. Rich Oppenheim oversees the staff here.
What you see in front of you is the A2 interlocking machine. When it was installed here, it was state-of-the-art, really the best thing that money could buy at the time.
That was 1932. The A2 does a huge job for Metra. This is an intersection for trains. During rush hour, there's an average of one every minute or two, and it takes some time for each one to get through. At most, 3 or 4 trains can cross at a time, and A2 is the crossing guard. One operator sits at a desk, talking back and forth with engineers on a radio. The other physically throws switches to allow each train to cross in its turn.
Really, it is amazing when you think about an antique like this performing the function that it does.
But it can't operate forever. Not only is it sensitive to bad weather, but parts are getting hard to come by. According to a study by the agency that oversees Metra, replacing the A2 is just one item on a $9.7 billion to-do list. Metra officials say they expect to see about $2 billion. It's not a great time to go looking for new money. Metra has a new board chairman, Martin Oberman. He says recent agency scandals, aging infrastructure, and the service failures put him in a tough position.
3 strikes.
Still, Oberman says he intends to make the case for the money Metra needs.
It's fundamentally important to have a thriving business community, to have good public transit. So it's short-sighted not to spend money on that.
In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.